Good morning. Hopefully this thing will come on. Having a little difficulty with it this morning. Wanted to start us off looking back at the song we sang earlier this morning, Blessed Assurance, song number 4, as we wait for the projector to warm up. A couple hints in this song in regards to what my lesson's going to be about today. I read, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my song. Well, I can't sing, so I'm not going to sing, but I will tell you a little bit of a story. And Rich, are we green? No, Rich is not there. There we go. Got a beep. I have to read that again to allow it the minute to warm up. So basically what I'm going to share with you today is a kind of a journey of my life, both the personal side of things as well as the spiritual side of things. So I'm going to look at a different way of seeing something that struck me at work this week. So it's a special month. Anybody know what the special month is other than Thanksgiving, other than Black Friday starting in a couple weeks? Kind of a tricky title. I thought it would be more catching than the story of John Leach or the story of a big leech, which is my last name. So I thought Thicker Than Blood would kind of go into what I want to talk about next. There's more remote controls up here than there are in my house. So it's quite interesting. So this month is National Adoption Month. So at work, we provide adoption benefits for our employees. So I've been doing a lot of work with organizations like the Dave Thomas Foundation to promote adoption. Interesting statistics in regards to some of the adoption stories that we've been sharing, that there are over 100,000 children in the United States that are currently in foster care that are looking for what they call a forever family. The stats of 100,000 kids in the United States just kind of strikes me every day as we started running these articles to try to promote adoption benefits within our organization and then obviously promote it from outside of our organization. So out of that 100,000, most of them will have to wait at least 4 years to be placed into an adoptive family. 23,000 kids in America will, what they call, age out of the system, which means they hit the age of 18, never having a family. 23,000. Pretty staggering when you think about it. So now let's kind of have some fun and look at what it was like growing up as a leech. I was adopted. I was adopted fairly close to after my birth. It's kind of a scary story. For many of you guys, you're going to be like, oh, that explains so much. But I was given an opportunity for a new life. I found my biological mother 8-10 years ago, and she shared a lot of things with me that were somewhat surprising and, according to my wife, were very revealing about why I am the way I am. I was conceived on LSD in the 60s. Yes, I'm that old. And obviously in the 60s, there was a lot of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and I think that was a byproduct of that. An interesting fact to that, though, was I was born in the 60s prior to Roe versus Wade passing in the 70s. My biological mother did not have the money, because she was spending it on drugs, to get an under-the-table abortion. In the first meeting with her, she basically said, yes, you were $400 away from not being given an opportunity for life. That was a lot for me. That kind of changed my walk in life right at that particular point. Then, obviously, when you grow up adopted, like I was, you kind of look at things not knowing, well, what was that situation? Why was I given up? Airports were murder for me because every time I'd be in an airport, I'd be looking at people, and they would look at me a little differently, and I'd be like, could that be a brother or my biological mother or a biological grandmother? So you always have these questions. Well, after I met my biological mother and learned that I was $400 away from never being given life, it didn't matter. All of those little things didn't matter. So I think that there is definitely an opportunity for me to go from really, really bad, which was not being given any existence in life, to a life where I knew a mother and a father who loved me very much. That opportunity to think of life as being chosen. So obviously you can start to feel that there's a theme that I'm going to be getting into in a spiritual sense, which we'll get into a little bit later on. But knowing that I was picked, knowing that my mother and father went out and looked for me, tried to find me. Adoption was handled quite differently back in the days of black and white before color TV. So it was a little bit different. They were actually looking for another girl. They adopted my older sister, Heidi, and they were looking to adopt another little girl. And the state agency called them up and said, "Hey, we got this boy, you know. He's, you know, he looks like he's going to be, you know, fairly healthy. What do you think?" So my mom and dad were like, "Yeah, we'll come check him out." You know, kind of like a used car. So they flew to where I was in my foster home. Like, you know, I guess they kicked the tires a little bit and like, "Yeah, we'll take that one." But they chose me. They picked me. And that was something special. That was something I always had pride in growing up, as I always knew I was adopted, that how great that was to be chosen. That also, as a little boy, can be used cruel towards my little sister who was born to my mom and dad, that I was chosen and you were not. Right after they adopted me, they became pregnant with my little sister as kind of a surprise. So they had tried for years and years and years, couldn't get pregnant, finally adopted my older sister and myself, and then had my little sister. And obviously I used this every day of my life to rub it in her. I was chosen. You were a mistake. You were an oops. So, you know, again, I was a boy, and boys can be cruel, but I was wanted. And I felt really good about that in the family relationship that we had. Understanding that in the state of Colorado where I was adopted, they sealed my records. So when they adopted me, they signed a certificate. I was bound to my mother and my father by law, and everything about my past was blocked. Everything from my past, as I put here, was hidden, was erased from my memory. I had no idea what happened to me prior to being adopted. And then I started understanding that adoption has its benefits and it has its not-so-happy moments. My dad was a director of elementary education in the school district in which I lived. So when I would go to school and if I were bad, I would bring shame to my father's name. "Oh, you're David Leach's boy. We know you." And if I was bad, that knowledge would be of David Leach's boy was bad in class today. Obviously, if I did good things, I could bring fame to my father. You know, if I were really good in school or I studied really hard or I did something really well, it was like, "Oh, yeah, that's David Leach's boy." So there was this aspect of, as I was adopted, I realized that I had responsibilities. That by being chosen, that I had responsibilities to the people that chose me. Now that I'm older in life, I understand there's an estate there that I'm an heir to. I'm the only boy in my family, so I'm the only one that can further the Leach name. That was something else that I didn't realize until I started having my own family. And girl after girl after girl after girl. Like, wow. This is really important. Now I can see why my dad's like, "Please get married and have kids." But that's something important. There is a understanding that the furthering of that family name is prideful, is something that you can't take lightly, which I've talked about. That's me in the middle. Life was tough back then. We came out to Colorado in a covered wagon. Can't see the 2 feet of snow uphill that we had to walk through to get to school. But I picked this picture because of kind of the... So that's my older sister, Heidi, who was adopted. I'm in the middle. And then my little sister, Nancy. You can kind of see the attitude I had. I was like, "Yeah, I was picked." You know, I'm like, I'm kind of looking at her proud. I'm like, "This is my homestead. Got to put my foot down." So things were not always easy in the Leach household, as you can kind of see. But it allowed me to understand, to grow, and to learn into the subject that is most important for us to discuss today, which is going into my Heavenly Father's arms and the understanding about the correlation of me being adopted physically and the adoption that happens spiritually. So there's that correlation in there that I want to get into next. So we understood through my story that I was conceived into a world of sin. Literally, into a man and a woman who are not joined by marriage through all the bad situations that were happening at that particular point. And I'd like to turn to Scripture. Now, the Scriptures that I selected today are kind of my own personal thoughts in regards to how those Scriptures speak to me and what we're talking about in regards to adoption. So if you would turn over with me to the book of Jeremiah. I'll be reading Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. I looked at what my mother and father did for me in giving me a future, by choosing me, by picking me, by adopting me, giving me the opportunity for hope. After meeting my biological, it was very hard for me to process, what if? What if she tried to raise me on her own? What if I was adopted by a different family? All of these pieces go into understanding that God actually has a plan. And His plan is good for us, regardless of what the circumstances might be around us. So we are all from a world of sin, but He really wants us to have a world within. And that world within is a world with Him. Within Him through baptism, within Him through Christ, and within Him for an eternity. And I think that that gives me hope as I continue on in life. There was another verse that I ran across as I was putting this together that I also wanted to share with you today. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. I was given a new lease on life. I was given a new opportunity physically. And then when I became baptized, I was given a new life spiritually. We just participated in the Lord's Supper. And for me, that's kind of the opportunity for me to reflect back on the new life that I've been given. Kind of the reset button for me to say, there was a world of sin that I was a part of. Now I'm part of a world from within. And that within is really taking on the blood and the body of Christ. So that's that first correlation that I'd like to make. The second one is to be chosen. And the thought that I had physically being chosen, and then the thought that I have today on being spiritually chosen. That God Himself, before the beginning of the world, actually chose me. And let's turn to Romans 5:8. But God demonstrated His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Go ahead, one more.
As we go and understand that my mother and father wanted me, they chose me, they picked me, even though they were looking for a girl, they said, wow, this is the one that we want. We're chosen by God. He chose each and every one of us. He chose everybody on the face of the earth. Now, we can acknowledge that as a good thing, or we can turn our back to it, which obviously brings Him pain, that if I, being chosen by my earthly parents, if I were to turn my back on my earthly parents, would that hurt them? Absolutely. They chose me, but yet I'm turning my back to Him. God's the same way. God's love for us is stronger than any love that we can understand as parents. But when He chooses us and we turn our back to Him, the pain, I can't even imagine, of His chosen people, the individuals that He has chosen before time began, turning their back on Him, it's something that we should hopefully never put Him through or have Him experience in regards to us. And that's something that I reflect on as I have my relationship with my mother and father, is that they chose me. And I need to honor that choice by being good, by being the best child I can be, and bring honor to their name rather than shame to their name. Ephesians 1, 4 through 6. Let's look at one more verse here. Let's stay in Ephesians and then we'll jump back over to Matthew. Ephesians 1, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him, in love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. This idea of adoption predates the adoption that I went through, and this understanding that we were not born of that family, but have been adopted into that family. And there's a bond there. Understanding that you've got, well, there's the blood relative that I never was able to really understand growing up as an adopted child. But what I felt in the relationship that I had with my mother and father, that I was in a relationship stronger than blood. Something that was stronger than anything that I had seen. I've seen relationships of blood relatives that I'm surprised they even define it as a relationship. So just because it's blood didn't mean anything different to me than the relationship that is the most important relationship we have. Now let's jump back to Matthew 22:14, which is the parable of the marriage feast. And I use this in a way of the marriage feast that inviting the individuals to the party. And I'll just take the verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. And it takes me back to kind of the stat that we showed earlier about the 100,000 children that are currently waiting for permanent families within the United States. And only a certain percentage of those will be adopted this year. That there are many that need, but only a few will actually be chosen to be placed in the homes. And we know that that's not what God wants. We know that God wants all of us to be able to be adopted to Him through Christ our Savior, through baptism. But yet, only few are chosen because of the relationship, because of the willingness of that individual to go through with that relationship and allow to do the things that are asked of us to be chosen. The contract. So understanding the contract that was entered into by my mom and dad to place me permanently with them. Some days they were like, okay, yeah, well, this really happened. And other days they were like, wow, this was great. And I think that particular tie that we have there can be found. We'll look at Mark 16:16. He who has believed, has been baptized, shall be saved. Simple contract, just like the changing of a birth certificate. Something easy for us to be able to enter into for a lasting change. And to get to the next part, that then labels us not as David Leitch's son, in my case, but as a Christian. We take the name. We take the name of Christ, our Savior, in the things that we do and the things that we say. We have the opportunity to bring shame to His name by doing things against His will, doing things that focus on us, focus on the sinful act that mankind has, or we can bring fame to our Father. We can bring fame to that name that we take on through baptism. And we'll look at one of those. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. It's one that I like because it talks about eating. Whether then you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all in the glory of God. Understanding that my name is attached to a lot of things, both in contracts that I sign at work, things that I do in society, that's a name that if I do something incorrectly, that name will be attached to that. The same thing in what we do with our own physical lives, things that we can do to bring glory to God in the way that we act. We'll start to wrap this thing up. As I understood that I was the heir to the inheritance, so to speak, with my mother and father, we also understand that we are an heir, like in the song that we sung this morning, song 4, that we are an heir to receive the kingdom. That's just a little bit bigger than, and my mother and father are teachers, so there's no big inheritance. It's not, there will definitely no early retirement on my behalf if and when they pass away. But we look at this kingdom that we are the heir to through the adoption that we have with God is tremendous, is something that we really need to be cherishing, is something that we need to really feel good about in this relationship that we have with God. I have one verse there, Galatians 4:7. Let's quickly read that, and I'll continue with my conclusion and get you guys out of here. Galatians 4:7. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, than an heir through God. I was born into sin. I was adopted into my mother and father's house, and therefore became an heir to their inheritance. Later on in life, I was able to become one to know God, obey His commandments, baptized into the blood, and now I am an heir to through God, to hopefully an eternity in heaven. Responsible for furthering the name of God, this is one that I think we all can take with us definitely daily, is what are we doing to spread God's name? What are we doing to make His name respected more in a society that is turning against Him? Lots of focus right now, keep Christ in Christmas and those kinds of things. That's not what it's about. There's so much more there that we can do for furthering the name of God than we're doing today. All right, so my life has been changed. I look at my life definitely after finding out how close I was to not having a life of paying it forward. What can I do to pay it forward? So I'd like to leave you with two things that I would like you to consider about paying it forward. First and foremost is obviously spreading the word. That we have been given an opportunity through baptism to be adopted by God. And that's definitely something that we need to pay forward in spreading the word. So if we could turn to 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. I'll stop there. And just like I was an ambassador this month for adoption through our organization, something that I stood for and that I went out and communicated. And I continue. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. We can be ambassadors for this cause of trying to teach others about the adoption we can find and the inheritance that we have eternally in heaven. So the first thing we need to do is obviously share God's love for us. That as we physically look in the United States of this concept of a forever family, it's interesting how easy that is to transition over to there's only really one forever family. When I pass away, my relationship, my physical relationship with my mother and father changes. There is one forever family that we have with God that will never change, that can go on for an eternity. That is something we need to be sharing with people. Obviously, continuing to share our love for others. I don't advocate adoption for everybody. It is difficult. But you look at the different aspects of what we can do for those that are in need. We have called to take care of the orphans and the widows. We have the opportunity to understand that children are the legacy that we have before us and how important it is to further that legacy by taking care of our children. If you can't adopt, adopt. If you can't adopt, support adoption. If you can't support adoption, vocalize adoption. Tell others about the opportunity to adopt. It starts small. Start small with the seed that can be planted, just like we plant the seed about Christ and the salvation we have through Him. We can also help our world teach more people about the love of God by our actions and the things that we do, the things that we say, and the things that we support. So I'll leave you with that there are two action items for you this week. Hopefully you'll take them through the rest of your life, is to think about the relationship that you have with God. If it's a relationship that you're very proud of, like the relationship that I have with my mother and my father, as well as my relationship with God, that you will share that. You will be proud of that. You will gladly take the adoption badge and proudly put that on your chest. And then to be able to share the opportunity for others to learn about adoption of the physical sense and trying to help the children that are in need across the country. So I leave you with that. And if you're not part of God's family, you're not adopted by God, we have an opportunity now, as we'll stand and we'll sing, if you'll come to the front, you can be baptized. You can have that birth certificate changed over to God's name permanently, forever. And if you need to do that, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.